Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and this is the Revisionist Report, brought to you every Saturday only on Republic Broadcasting Network. 2 weeks ago, Dr. Rudy Pershall was my guest. He brought us his compelling discovery of evidence of a plan by the British going all the way back to 1919 for the transfer of populations in Europe. Mainly Germans, from their historic homelands in the Sudetenland and German Silesia and Prussia. This belies the propaganda that these Germans were ousted, in the millions, by the way, and their property stolen in retaliation for the invasion and occupation by Hitler and the National Socialists. Tonight, another former Sudeten German is here to give us his view of this whole tragedy, a long historical view going further back. He is Wilfried Hanke. Wilf, as he's called, is a revisionist from Canada who has done a goodly amount of carefully researched work that can be found at the Inconvenient History Revisionist blog. The URL for that is www.revblog.codo.com. I'll spell that. It's revblog.codoh.com. I have mentioned that website several times, and so you're going to get to it. you'll eventually know it without me having to spell it out. Hello, Wilf. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm very glad you're here. Now, we're going to get right into it because there's so much that we have to say. Now, based on what you've told me, I titled today's program, The Long Road to Czechoslovakia. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, that sounds good, and it's close to the subject.
Okay, so why don't you just go ahead from there and start right in.
Okay. To call me, I was born in Czechoslovakia, that is true, in 1937. My parents were Seventh-day Adventists, and they belonged not to the big church. There's a reform group, and I think that's unique to Germany, that reform group. And that reform group differs from the other group, but the main difference is that they will not bear arms, period. They'll go to jail or whatever. And whereas the larger group allows their members freedom of choice, if they want to go, they can, or whatever. That small group was banned in 1937. I think it was on April the 5th. I have it right here. Yeah. My dad decided to flee, and we lived only about 15 kilometers from the Czech border, as it was then and is now again. And my mom was pregnant, eight months pregnant, and into Czechoslovakia, and that's where I was born. But in 1938, when Czechoslovakia became part of the German Reich again, they went back to Germany. So my memory on that is a little spotty. Ha ha ha. Anyway, I hope, Carolyn, that you'll still have some listeners left when I'm done, because what I have to say is controversial, to say the least. When I retired, I decided to for my retirement, to fill in time, to take a look at history. I've always been interested in history, and having taken a look at the history of Germany, I found that the official version that is being preached to us, the victor's version, And that is to blame everything to blame Germany for everything.
Yes, we know they do that. Okay, Wilf, we're going to take our first break. So after 3 minutes, we'll be back and you can continue.
Thank you.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, Does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and my guest is Wilf Hank. I am Carolyn Yeager, and Wilf is telling us about his background being born in Czechoslovakia and then almost immediately being moved to Germany with his family. So, Wilf, please continue.
Okay, thanks, Carolyn. Okay, when I started to look at history, as I mentioned before, I tried to go back as far as I possibly could. And I want to cut this short because all I want to say is that eventually the Holy Roman Empire, German nation, was created. It was a German Empire. Holy Roman only came into play because the German chiefs had accepted Christianity and they installed the Pope in Rome as the head of state. This empire eventually disintegrated into kingdoms and duchies, and so it was done for various reasons. And I'm only mentioning that to show that Germany was reunited, and it was a state for a long time. Austria was included in that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Bismarck, as a statesman, emerged roughly in the middle of the 1800s, his aim was to reunite this Germany without Austria, because he didn't want to touch the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. That was a powerhouse at that time. But he wanted to reunite Germany again, as it has been before, the smaller version, as he called it, under the Prussian crown, the Hohenzollern. And that was his life's mission. He knew it would not be easy. Bismarck is either loved or hated. And there are a lot of things that he said are misinterpreted, and people are trying to portray him as a warmonger. He was not. He was exactly the opposite. One of the things he said was in 1862, the great questions of the time will be decided not by speeches and resolutions of majorities, but by iron and blood. Now, when he was referring to resolutions and majorities, he was referring to the revolution, the German Revolution of 1848, which it talked itself to death. And this iron and blood remark was turned around into blood and iron. And all he said is the obvious, because what he was saying is issues are settled by wars, and they still are now. So he was just stating the obvious.
Okay.
No.
Right. I hope people can understand that. He wasn't promoting war. He was
no.
just saying that this was a big issue that needed to be settled.
Yes.
It may come to that, I guess.
Yeah, and yeah, he said that he didn't promote it, as you said. But he said, unfortunately, this is a fact of life, and we may as well accept it. And in 1870, to speed this up a little bit here, Leopold...
Don't speed up too much, because we do want to hear it all, but okay, you use your judgment.
Okay. In 1870, Leopold of Hohenzollern, one of the Hohenzollern princes, he was related to William I of Prussia, I don't know what he was, nephew, whatever. He was offered the crown of Spain. The French immediately hollered encirclement. Leopold declined, almost, I don't think he wanted the job anyway. But the French asked the King of Prussia for assurances that it will never happen again. And they pestered him. They wanted something in writing. William, the king, had said already, okay, I'll do my best that this is not, if this upsets you like that, we won't let it happen again. But they kept going and kept going until the king got fed up, and he sent Bismarck a telegram. And that plays a role also in this distortion game about Bismarck. It is called the Ems telegram, because the king at that time was in Ems on a holiday, I believe. And Bismarck is charged with distorting the wording of this telegram. He did not. He changed some words, but he did not, the meaning stayed the same. And the king had asked Bismarck to publish that telegram, and in the telegram it stated, just short here, that the king refuses to give any more assurances to the French, because I'm master of my own house, and what I'm doing is actually my business, and this is in plain words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't go over well with the French, and they declared war on Prussia.
Wow.
And that war, Bismarck, now, I shouldn't be misunderstood here. Bismarck knew that a war was about to happen. The war with France was as inevitable as it had been with Austria. So he knew, but he didn't further it, but he did nothing to kind of, avoid it, because he knew it was going to come. So when the declaration of war happened, Bismarck went to the kings and princes and so on, to the rulers of the fragmented Germany, as it were, and asked them, look, guys, how are you going to handle this? Are you going to let us fight this war again alone and be beaten by defeated by the French, as it happened in 1806 by Napoleon I, or and have the French rule Prussia and perhaps even grab some of the smaller German kingdoms and so on and so forth, or are you going to come to our assistance? And the kings reluctantly, very reluctantly, came to Prussia's assistance, and the war was won. But even though, and we had talked about that, Caroline, even though they had fought together, the Germans, for quite a while, for a year or some year and a half, they were not united. This took a long time, and the Germans seemed to have a hard time uniting, because even now, when the wall disappeared, as it is known here in the West in the 1990, they still haven't grown together. It's still East Germans and West Germans. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this changed the balance of power. This winning of the war against France Germany emerged as a almost united nation. That upset the English, and on February the 9th, 1871, the war had just ended, or it was in the last days or something like that. Disraeli, who was then the head of the opposition, in his speech to Parliament stated, and I quote, "Let me impress upon the attention of the House the character of this war between France and Germany. It is no common war, like the war between Prussia and Austria, or like the Italian war in which France was engaged some years ago, nor is it like the Crimean War. This war represents the German Revolution, a greater political event than the French Revolution of last century. I don't say a greater or as great a social event. What its social consequences may be are in the future. Not a single principle in the management of our foreign affairs, accepted by all statesmen for guidance up to 6 months ago, any longer exists. There is not a diplomatic tradition which has not been swept away. You have a new world, new influences at work, new and unknown objects and dangers with which to cope. We used to have discussions in this house about the balance of power. Lord Palmerston, eminently a practical man, trimmed the ship of state and shaped its policy with a view to preserve an equilibrium in Europe. But what has really come to pass? The balance of power has been entirely destroyed, and the country which suffers most and feels the effects of this great change most is England." End of quote. Now,
wow.
Yeah, really, well.
Yeah, now I just have to make one little comment here. Now, this definitely shows that for Britain, which was already an empire, right?
Yes.
They could not tolerate any strength in Europe. They didn't mind the French too much. I guess they thought they could always deal with the French, but they were very nervous about the Germans, and for that reason they targeted right there. He shows that this
yep.
was a big deal. Okay, please
yes.
go on.
It was for them, the balance of power, as they call it, has been upset, and they've felt threatened. Mm-hmm. And you know, would they just accept this
but
new?
You know, did they feel threatened militarily, or were they just threatened economically? You think,
Carolyn? I have absolutely no idea why they even felt threatened. The German, these Hohenzollern and others, they were related to the French kings. This was family.
Mm-hmm.
What incarnation? But it was paranoia? No, it was deeper. There was this balance of power so precious to them, which in fact only meant that England maintains the hegemony over Europe. This is mm-hmm. all it is. They always tried to prevent a rival power from emerging.
Right.
So, and I think that was behind it. They couldn't stand it that a power had arisen in Europe now that could rival them. There was no indication that Germany ever did. I mean, Hitler, we know that Hitler is on record. He bent over backwards for England later on, and mm-hmm. so did Kaiser Wilhelm II before World War I. Anyway, when England had always looked, when France under Napoleon I became too strong, she sided with Prussia. And at Waterloo, the Prussians played a vital role in defeating Napoleon for the last time, Napoleon I. And they have fought the French for quite some time, but now they looked at France as an ally.
Okay, they look to France as an ally. All right, we're taking another break, and we will return in a couple of minutes, so stay with us.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back again, and my guest is Wilf Heinck of Canada, and he is giving us this very interesting historical background to what became the Czechoslovak problem. So, Wilf, just continue where you left off.
Okay. When I, you know, this intrigued me, and I made that a little bit of my pet project. I'm not quite done yet, but I have good information. I came across a book by George F. Kennan. He was an American diplomat, mm-hmm. and he wrote Russia and the West under Lenin and Stalin. And he mentions on the first few pages of this book the German problem, and I quote, he mentions that twice, the German problem. And he writes that he doesn't want to get into it. I wish he would have. He would have saved me a lot of work.
Did you say what year this is that he's, you know?
Well, he writes about before, like when the Bolshevik state was created, and about World War One.
Okay.
And he says as much as the German problem has not been solved. And when I this intrigued me, I thought, why did Dickens? Why a German problem? At that time, England was ruling half of the world, and the sun never set on the empire. And the North American Indians didn't hand over their territory to the English willingly. I mean, they grabbed whatever they could by force. So why was there no English problem? Why a German problem? Mm-hmm. So looking a little closer, I came across a book by Renate Rimek, She was a German historian. I wish she died in 2002, and I wish I could have talked to her. Anyway, the book is titled Mitteleuropa, Middle Europe. Mm-hmm. And she writes that Bismarck, already in 1887, faced opponents that were unknown to him, namely a circle of influential people around the Prince of Wales, later to become King Edward VII, and that circle included, among others, Lord Randolph Churchill, the Duke of Norfolk, Lord Salisbury, and the head of the House of Rothschild. She doesn't name anybody else. Remick writes that those people were convinced that war was inevitable, and she's talking about World War I here, and she makes a good case that it was well prepared.
And when did they decide World War I was inevitable?
1887.
All right.
And they planned
Germany, the date for Germany's reunification, so-called, I want to remind the listeners, 1871.
Yes.
So within a few years, Britain had reacted.
Yes.
To this, right? Yes.
And they started to make plans now to do something about this rising power. And what they planned to do was to bring about a French-Russian alliance. At that time, really unthinkable when you go a little further, because French had their revolution. They were an atheist country, if you will, whereas Russia, the Tsar considered himself as a bulwark against Haitians, like Christian country and so on. But nevertheless, they tried to bring that alliance about, a French-Russian alliance, with England, of course, in the background, and lending assistance when needed. And when World War I broke out, we know that England had treaty obligations. That alliance against Germany, with the desired outcome to render powerless Middle Europe, that's the title of her book, and that is Germany and Austro-Hungary. That was the plan of that was what these people planned. Now, she quotes some sources, and I looked at some of the books, and I have quite a few of them. And there was indeed a flurry of diplomatic activity starting about then. And then in an effort to forge this French-Russian alliance, one book by Professor Adamov, it's The Diplomacy of the Vatican, makes the best case. It shows step by step how this encirclement of Germany was attempted and achieved, and it was completed by 1914. That book was published in 1932, and in 1932 it is part, there's documents in that book, copies of documents, quite a few of them, and that book was part of a publication by the Bolsheviks at that time. They had found some documents in the Tsar archives, and they published them to embarrass the West, and that book is one of them, in fact.
Okay.
And now, when you take in this England's doctrine of balance of power, if you will, it makes sense. Remick makes a very solid case. She also makes reference to Masonry, Freemasonry, and I need to mention that here.
Good.
The fact that the Duke of Wales was a Grand Master of several lodges, and she writes, and there were others in that circle that were high officials of Freemasons. She dismisses this. She says these people, just because they were Freemasons, they had an opportunity to meet, but she doesn't think that this was a Freemason plan. There's another book by Karl Heise, and again I just translate the title, it's Entente, Freemasonry and the World War, and he disagrees with her wholeheartedly, because he makes a very solid case that the Freemasons were behind it right from the start. And this is that book.
Well, I don't think we should have a break right now, so I don't know what this. Oh, yeah, it's already 6:29. All right, the next one is a long one. We'll be back in a few minutes for a long session.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a one-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
All right, here we are. We are back now for our longest segment. And, Wilf, I hope you can make a lot of progress in the next 17 or so minutes, and then we will have about 5 minutes at the end. So let's see how it goes. So, you were talking, where were you?
Well, I was talking about Carl Heise in his book making a case that Freemasonry was indeed behind it.
Yeah.
And but you know, I for argument's sake, and he convinced me. I have to say that they played a role in all of this. But for argument's sake, for me this is at the moment here because I can't go into all of these details.
No.
It is irrelevant because it doesn't really matter who was behind that plan. The fact is, a plan to eliminate the Middle European powers existed, because that becomes evidence from all the documentation that I have been able to put together, and that there was secret negotiation and so on. President Wilson addressed it in point one in his 14 points. He said that this nonsense, this behind the doors stuff, has to stop. And this was directly aimed at the secret diplomacy that brought about World War I. And this was part of it. There is no doubt. The encirclement of Germany before World War I was a coordinated effort. Adamov, whom I mentioned before, goes into detail about it. Even Pope Leo the 13th participated. He was encouraged to participate. And diplomats were involved, and they don't act on their own. They only act on orders. So, and to say that this just all by chance, that there is, this is impossible. You can't, there has to be. And why was it? Germany or Austria-Hungary, there were no threat at that time. They didn't make plans to conquer the world or anything like that. Quite the contrary, Bismarck had done everything in his power to prevent war. And that policy continued later on. And he had realized that the reunification of Germany would be seen as a problem. So he forged his Three Emperors Pact, between Russia, Austria, Hungary, and Germany. And he believed that this was insurance enough, but he forgot to look at England. For some reason, from all the books I read about him, he never considered England to be a threat. Why that was, I have absolutely no idea. He looked at France. France is the main enemy because of the war that it had lost and because of Alsace-Lorraine. And what he feared most was an alliance between Russia and France. And this is exactly what that circle was working on, because it would have put Germany in the middle. And Bismarck, to show that he didn't really, he didn't want war, one of the speeches that's quoted most often is, and I quote, "We Germans fear God and are not afraid of anything else in the world." This is interpreted as meaning that he's a warmonger. But these people forget to say what comes right after it. That was only half of the sentence. The next half is, "And it is because we fear God that we seek peace and ensue it."
There you go. Well, that is exactly how they do it all the time, time, and all kinds of people, even friends, unknowingly, often you will use a quote, one phrase, or maybe they'll do one sentence, but they won't give it in context, and it changes the whole thing.
Right.
Disgusting.
Right. Yeah, it is disgusting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, when at the end of World War One, Austria-Hungary was eliminated as a European power, in fact. She was only a shadow of herself. And to say this came about of her own doing is not true. There were plans, and this is documented. And when you look at Germany today, it's still an industrial giant, but it's impotent. It has no peace treaty. It isn't even a sovereign state.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that this is because of the actions of Germany, this cannot be sustained, because more and more evidence is now presented about World War One. This clause that was added in the Versailles Treaty that Germany was at fault. This was a blatant lie, and there's more and more evidence coming that Hitler tried to prevent war with everything any which way he could. That war in Poland and later in Russia. There's a new book out. It is six or nine Russian diplomats indict Stalin. More and more evidence that Stalin wanted that war and others wanted World War II, not Hitler. So eventually, history will have to be rewritten. And this is all, I'm still saying, up to World War II, and still now, this all went according to plan. This leaves no doubt in my mind, and there's enough evidence out there.
Yes, so and the main planner, aren't you saying, is the British?
The British, you can take your pick, either Freemasons or the British. But the British, with their balance of power policy or doctrine, if you will, whatever you want to use, I would say there are the suspects.
Well, weren't the Freemasons working through Britain? I mean, who else were they working through?
Yes. This Heise, he goes into detail about the Freemasons. He starts out by trying to find your origin. It isn't done. But he also writes that it is a benevolent organization, and it still is. It still is. The lower echelons of it, they are. But he makes a good case that the upper part, and that he blames England, that happened in England, that it was hijacked by people that pursued their own gains through the Freemasons.
Okay, now part of the plan was to reduce Germany in whatever way they could. And mm-hmm. so part of that would be to take, make it smaller, take territory yes. away. So yes. how does this now lead us to Czechoslovakia?
Okay, Czechoslovakia was for the longest time a part of that territory of Czechoslovakia, as it became known afterwards. It was territory of Austro-Hungary. And when that monarchy collapsed towards the end of the war, the Sudeten Germans, as they were called...
This is the end of World War One.
End of World War One. Mm-hmm. They made efforts to stay within Austria, having been citizens for that, from that country. And it appears that Crown Prince Ferdinand had designs to give the Czechs autonomy if that monarchy would have survived. And Heiser makes a case that that's one of the reasons, or the reason why he was shot. Anyway, these Sudeten Germans made an effort to stay with Austria, but that was prevented by the Czech Legion, as they called themselves, which was a collection of deserters of the Austrian-Hungarian army. Some were still wearing the uniform. They occupied the Sudeten territory. The Germans tried to resist. They had no weapons, so they just gave in. And that was months before the war. Before the war ended.
Mm-hmm.
That rebel army was acknowledged by the Entente powers as a regular army on 29th June 1918. We have to remember that armistice was not until November 11th. How they could... I mean, the army is the armed forces of a state in existence.
That's
there was no
right.
Czechoslovakia. So how can they could justify that is absolutely beyond me.
Well, they just like they do everything criminally.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Then on 26th December 1918, Tomasz Masaryk, the first who later became the first president of Czechoslovakia, formed a provisional Czechoslovak government. And on 28th of October of that year, 1918, still before the end of the war, he called the Czechoslovak Republic into existence. On March the 4th, 1919, that was then after they received, I believe that was after they received their blessings in Saint-Germain, the Czech Assembly convened its first session in Prague. Czech troops forcibly prevented the participation of Sudeten German representatives. The first clashes occurred. 54 German men, women, and children were killed. And later, the same thing happened after March the 4th. Another 50-plus were killed. More than 2,000 wounded Germans taken to a hospital. And this was then the so-called beginning of the Czech democracy. There are a few quotes from people that what they thought about the creation of this state. Michael Freund, who wrote a few books, I don't know if he was a historian or not, doesn't matter, but he was not a fan of Hitler's, for sure not. He said, "It's an enemy fortress in the middle of German territory, a portal through which all enemies of the Reich could enter."
Mm.
The Czech peace mission at Versailles said the location of the Czechoslovak state is such that it has to become a deadly enemy of the Germans. Pierre Cot, the French air minister, called it the mothership of the Western Air Force. And later on, after the Czechs signed in 1935, they signed a treaty of pact with the Soviet Union, Hitler spoke of a Russian aircraft carrier in the middle of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was right. Because mm-hmm. there was Soviet advisors crawling all over Czechoslovakia, and they provided arms to 300 fighter planes and so on and so forth.
Well, you can see why England was a protector and sponsor of the Czechs, because they were doing what England wanted to be done.
Yes.
There in sticking that area,
yes.
sticking into Germany, and
yeah.
It had been under German kind of a... Well, like you said, it was part of Austria in the past.
Yeah, it was German for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, after the establishment of this state in 1919, 40,000 German civil servants and officials were let go, replaced by Czechs. German elementary schools, hundreds of them were closed, high schools as well. 15,000 plus German students were prevented from attending school because the teachers were checked, and I mean, the whole thing just fell apart. Mentioning the word Sudeten Germany or Sudeten German was punishable by prison terms. Numerous protests were sent to Geneva, to the League of Nations. None of them were considered. And this is where the Czech crisis started, in 1919, not in 1938, and Hitler had absolutely nothing to do with it. Why did the Entente powers, who had created this state or given the blessings to it, why did they not, and I quote, do anything to tell the Czechs, and I quote, to protect the interests of inhabitants of the state who differ from the majority of the population in race, language, and religion. That is from the Versailles Treaty, Article 86. At the IMT at Nuremberg, von Neurath, the former German foreign minister, said, when he was asked by the defense counsel about the Sudeten German question, I have to be a little more explicit in this case. The Germans living in the Sudetenland as a compact group had been given the assurance at the peace negotiations in 1919 when they were attached to the Czechoslovak state that they would be given autonomy on the model of the Swiss Confederation, as expressly stated by Mr. Lloyd George in the House of Commons in 1940. The Sudeten German delegation at that time, as well as Austria, had demanded an Anschluss with the Reich. The promise of autonomy was not kept by the Czech government. Instead of autonomy, there was a vehement policy of Czechification. The Germans were forbidden to use their own German language in the courts as well as in their dealings with administrative authorities, etc., under threat of punishment. And here is, I have this from Avalon page, and here is when the president intervened at that so-called court trial in the IMT, and reminded the defense counsel, he said, Dr. von Lüdinghausen, cannot the defendant go on to the time with which we have to deal, namely 1938, and tell us what his policy was then, without telling us that all of these facts before about 1919? That's end of quote. So the judges didn't want the defense at Nuremberg was not allowed to mention the Wilson 14 points or Versailles. Mm-hmm. One of the lawyers tried. He was told to sit down and rewrite his speech. The judges, so-called judges at Nuremberg, said Versailles is irrelevant to the issue. But these lawyers, and they were picked by the victors, by the way, the defense lawyers. They were not picked by the accused. Mm-hmm. Because anybody, any lawyer that had any kind of connections with the Third Reich wasn't even considered. Mm-hmm. And even they thought this was highly unfair because they knew that Versailles was irrelevant. Without Versailles, there would have been no Czech or Polish crisis. Poland was also, as you know, given large chunks of German territory.
Yeah.
And even
let's remind the listeners that the Czechs were the majority in this state of Czechoslovakia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Slovaks had their half of it, or
yep,
part of it. But there were more Czechs than Slovaks. Well, I'll ask you that in a minute. But and so they put these different nationalities in there with the
mm-hmm.
Czechs, and the Czechs had never had a nation before
no.
of their
no.
own. And here they no. were now ruling not only over themselves, but over these others, and they really were doing. They were ill prepared. They had no sense of doing right by these other groups. They were just looking after themselves, and it was just extreme what kind of a mess they were making there. So Czechoslovakia was a nation that was bound to fail. It was failed from the beginning.
Yeah, The way they ran it,
mm-hmm.
if the Allies or the Entente powers would have reminded them of their obligations and told them, look, guys, give these people their autonomy, let them run their own business. You can run foreign policy and so on, as is in Switzerland. I worked in Switzerland for a year and a half, and it's a beautiful country. It could have worked. Why did they not insist on doing that? All I see ulterior motive that Czechoslovakia was created as maybe to be a casus belli to start the next war. I can't see any other reason for it to. Why did they not intervene and tell these guys to get their act together? I mean,
well, they didn't intervene until 38 at the very end in a kind of a mild way, and then they approved that Hitler could go on in there and occupy. Now that's interesting, but then you suggested to me that they then had put their attention on Poland and decided to make that the war, the cause of the war.
Yep.
All right, well, we'll continue with that when we come back for our last segment in 3 minutes.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesite, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, for our last segment. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and Wilf Hank is with me. And, Wilf, what I'd like to do in these last few minutes is to stick with Czechoslovakia.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like to point out, before you continue, that that there were no – when the Third Reich Wehrmacht went into Czechoslovakia into those areas to occupy them with the okay of the Allied nations at that time, there was no atrocities, there was no brutality, and there never were any.
No.
The Czech area there, which really was Bohemia and Moravia and the Sudetenland remained very peaceful. The Czechs were treated quite well. The only problem was with that Lidice that everybody brings up, or Lidice or whatever it is, and that was because of their brutality, their assassination of Heydrich, the governor, who was treating the Czechs very well. So you can go on and finish for us.
Well, Heydrich was riding around in an open car he with his wife. He had his chauffeur was the only guy, and he carried a pistol. And Heydrich said, "I don't even like that." But the pistol was part of the uniform, so he had to, the chauffeur had to carry it. Anyway, I have to. We don't have much time left. I'm just going to. Hitler is blamed for this. Hitler became involved very late in it, and that is very well documented. But Konrad Henlein emerged and founded the Sudeten German Party. This party united the German vote. They received 91% in a community election. That was not a general election, but in a community election, they received 91% of all the German votes. That was on 22nd of April 1938. And 2 days later, they had a convention at Karlsbad, and this Karlsbad program came up. And this is an 8-point program. Not one word of separation from Czechoslovakia in it. And that was in April 1938. There was not one word of separation. All they wanted is equality and to be left alone. And there was people are saying, well, yeah, Hitler was in there. He's inciting them. And so, there is no evidence of that. Henlein traveled to London. He was invited by von Sittard to come to London. He presented that program to London at some officials. He was well received. Van Sittard, and he was a German hater, quote, and I have this from a book by Thompson, found Henlein far more reasonable than I had dared to hope, unquote. Like I said, he presented his 8 points. They said, the Brits said, hey, that's great, but did nothing, absolutely nothing. And then.
Do you think somebody higher than them?
Yes.
Just would not act on it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm convinced. I mean, I've convinced myself by reading all these books that these people were following orders, if you will, to not act, because then on the very end, they send Lord Runciman in, when it was too late. Lord Runciman, in his report, said. Mm-hmm. He stated as much. He said it's almost too late. Unless they're giving autonomy right now, there will be civil war. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't sure that even if they were giving, that a split up could be avoided. So tell me why. Tell me why this. But there was another incident, and I don't know if we have time to.
No, not very little. I hear the music already.
I hear the music.
Wilf, this has been a great program. I want to thank you so much. Wilf Hienk, go and read some of his work at www.revblog.codo.com. And, I hope we'll do this again, Wilf. This is
thank
Helen
you.
Yeager saying, yeah, thank you. And so good night, everyone. See you next week.